courtesy of Nora Princiotti. I think I'm saying that right, from the Boston Globe. How to say that again, Patio? Princiotti. Thank you very much. You should know that.
Close enough. Hour number two, Dale and Keith, sports radio. That is an unfair shot on
tough
our part.
Start.
And our buddy Mutt.
Yep. Had to do it.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith with Wiggy. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Nora Princiotti from The Ringer. Her latest piece is called "The NFL Needs to Finalize Its COVID-19 Plans and Soon." Good morning, Nora. How are you?
I'm doing great, even though that was a cheap shot. I can't believe we're already in a fight.
Well, not with Mutt. You. Yeah, not with Mutt. You, with Mutt.
We would never screw that up. That is all Mutt.
You guys are the best. Glad to be with you.
As I read your piece in The Ringer, you sounded as pessimistic at times in this piece as I'm feeling lately about the possible return of NFL football this fall.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a happy, shiny person, but we're not in a great space just as a country now, are we? So
right.
I think within that, the odds for football are starting to look, I don't know that I would say low, because I think that everyone's sort of charging forward with the plan here, but the incongruent nature of doing that with just sort of our national struggle right now, I think, is coming into pretty clear focus. So I am more pessimistic about the ability to do this in a reasonable way that doesn't end in disaster than I am pessimistic about whether or not it'll actually happen. I would still put my money on most players reporting on July 28th, and, you know, the season starting on September 10th, I think, is the date. But it's a bit of a mess right now.
And with the NFLPA looking for these different opt-out clauses and things like that, what kind of chances could the NFL be in a situation that Major League Baseball was in, where it got real ugly and the fight ended up being more about money than even the safety?
So without getting too granular into the economics, the NFL and MLB are kind of apples and oranges, because the NFL ultimately has a revenue sharing agreement that puts the salary cap where it is every year, which is a function of how much money the league brought in national revenue the previous year. It's different in baseball. I'm not well-versed enough on MLB stuff to really explain it perfectly, but it's less of a zero-sum game in football. So it probably won't get quite to that point, because again, if the league loses money, the players lose money. So they're at least aligned in that regard. They're just not aligned in where they want, and when I like at what years they want the loss to be felt. The NFL and the owners are more interested, it seems so far, in having the losses be pretty acute and happen over a shorter period of time, whereas the players would like it to be spread out over multiple years, so that they can come gradually when the league is hopefully making more money through new TV contracts, sports gambling, blah, 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 blah. But it's not as much of a zero-sum game as it is in baseball, so I don't think it will get that bad.
Right, because when you think about it, Nora, the biggest thing that the owners want, they want that 35% of the player's salary to go to escrow. And the players have basically said, I believe it was Lorenzo Alexander, who's a member of the union executive committee, said, listen, we want that thing spread out over 10 years because they know there's a new TV deal looming. You think if they're able to get that taken care of and they're able to agree upon not having players have to put 35% of their salaries into escrow, this thing is able to get up running and move forward?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, just because these are all estimates, but the number that I've been hearing thrown around is a $4 billion revenue shortfall this year. Now, if you do all the math, that equates to probably around a $50 million drop in the salary cap next year if they do nothing. And that is in the collective bargaining agreement. So if they do nothing, that will happen. It's already written into the paperwork. So they are driving towards that cliff. Therefore, because that's bad for players since they lose their jobs, but it's also bad for teams because they've been planning and signing guys to new deals, assuming that the cap would keep going up and not have that kind of precipitous drop. they should both be incentivized to work something else out. Now, will it be over the course of 10 years? I don't know, because the league seems to have, you know, taken the initial stance of we want to get this done quickly, which was how they proposed to do it by putting 35% of the salaries in escrow, whereas the players want it over a really long period of time. I don't know if they'll be able to meet in the middle there. That's what they're working out. But again, they are both incentivized to do something, because they do not want, neither side should want, a $50 million drop in the cap next year, because that would be a disaster for everyone.
We're talking to Nora Princiati of The Ringer. In your piece, you talk about J.C. Tretter, the president of the Players Association, center for the Cleveland Browns. I hadn't thought about these numbers. After the 2011 lockout, he said there was a 25% increase in injuries, 44% more hamstring injuries, twice as many Achilles injuries. And, oh, by the way, he thinks it's going to be worse this year because gyms and training facilities have been shut down since March. It could be a physical disaster for this league.
Yeah, I mean, if the 2011 example ends up sort of being a relevant one, it could be really bad. And I think you are going to hear players talk about that a lot, because their argument is that all of the preseason should be canceled to do as much as possible to, you know, get in the right physical shape to avoid that type of thing happening again. And because the league is allowed to set and schedule up to 4 preseason games, they've already canceled 2 of them, but the players would like them to cancel the remaining 2. All the players can really do is try to put public pressure on the league. And I think you're going to hear a lot about those injury numbers from 2011 going forward, because that's sort of the most compelling argument that they can make there, other than just, you know, why risk travel and different teams coming into contact with each other right now for games that don't count. But I think the injury argument is really compelling, because of course they should be in worse shape than they were in 2011, because so many gyms were closed. And I mean, back actually before I switched jobs, one of my last Globe stories was about how guys were trying to stay in shape. And I remember being really surprised by how little equipment people had at home, just because I think every once in a while you'll see, like, on social media or whatever, you'll see like, oh, take a look at JJ Watt's home gym. Mm-hmm. Look at all this equipment. It's all shiny. But most people aren't like that. And most guys have their own personal trainers and private gyms that they go to anyway. So they just don't have a lot of this stuff at home. And eventually the league was allowed to give guys up to, I think it was $1,500 worth of equipment, but like, that can't even buy you a Peloton.
Right. So, right. What are you going to do with $1,500? Yeah, right. Let's be honest.
What would it take, or what are the, you know, even the chances that they would move the whole league to the spring?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's even been part of the conversation yet. And the other thing is, I mean, I guess if you moved it all the way to the spring, maybe the idea would be that things really would be better by then. But one question I have that I've not gotten any satisfying answers for is, okay, some people have talked about, let's push it back a little bit, give players a longer time to get acclimated. But my question is, from everything that we understand just about how viruses work, the winter is not great. So why do we want to concentrate these dates more so that they're from, you know, October, November, all the way through the winter? That piece I have never been able to get a good answer explaining. I have not heard a single person talk about just moving the whole thing to the spring. So I don't know what it would take to get there, but I don't think that that's on the table.
Now when you think of the NFL, and I've always asked this question, how far are they willing to go as far as optics and continue in the league? Because we think some players are going to test positive during the season, and you just quarantine those guys, and it's the next man up mentality. Do you think there's a specific line in the sand that the NFL says, okay, this is how far the NFL and players, we're willing to go before we have to shut it down? Because I don't think you start it if you know you're going to shut it down.
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. And it's one that I've been thinking about a lot, because when I was reporting that story, one of the things that stood out to me the most was that a bunch of epidemiologists and infectious disease experts guesstimated, there's no real scientific threshold for this, but they told me that if you have a core population of, let's call it 115 people, that's your roster, your practice squad, and the core coaches, trainers who have to be in close contact with players. If that's like 115 people, if you have somewhere between 5 and 10% of those guys testing positive in a contained period of time, which does not seem unrealistic, you can pretty much assume that there's been exposure all throughout that group of 115 people, just because if you're in close contact, once there's 5, 10% testing positive, the likelihood is that they've been in contact with one guy who's been in contact with another, and it's not just like a straight line where you can do the contact tracing. It's just a really tangled web. And under the rules that they have put in place, if you've had exposure to someone who tests positive, you have to quarantine for at least 5 days and have 2 consecutive negative tests back to back within 24 hours. So if we think about it like that, if you get to that threshold where it's like 5, 10% positive tests, not like all at once, but within a short period of time, everybody probably has to quarantine. So if everybody is quarantined, how do you go forward? That's my question. Do you have an entirely new team potentially for 1 week? Or do you cancel a game? Or do you postpone it? Or, you know, do they come up with something else? Are they pulling people off the street? Am I going to be asked to play cornerback? This is a situation I have no idea how they're going to handle. And I think it's a lot more likely than it seems like people are talking about.
Last thing, Nora, we're asking everybody this, and I feel like it's going to be very one-sided, but the afternoon show started this, so we're asking all of our guests, the week one starter for the Patriots, Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham?
Cam Newton.
Of course. Okay. Thank you.
So, you're on the board.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. You're on the board. Pretty unanimous.
Nora, thank you so much for the time. Go ahead.
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
I would like to go on record. You cannot find, no one in Boston will be able to find me on the Jared Stidham hype train that just got so out of hand.
All right.
Very
good. A few
months ago. I want to make that very clear.
Love
All right.
It.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nora. Nora Princiati of The Ringer joining us.